All right, so good morning. I want to welcome everybody to Crossings Church. My name's Jake. I am not usually the one up here. I'm the campus minister, so I'm usually in the background. But I'm excited to be up here and talk to you guys today about some stuff. Like Wes said earlier, we do have a block party coming up this week. It's on Wednesday. It's an awesome time. So if you have kids or you know somebody with kids or you just want to get your family out of the house for a day, you're sending your kids off to college and you just kind of want to come hang out, we have this block party this Wednesday. It's going to be great. We have inflatables that are going to be there. We're going to have costumes with characters, with kids to take pictures. We'll have food, everything. It's all free. And like Wes said, it's actually at our church building. We're hoping one of our goals this year is to get into our actual church building. We have a property. We're just trying to get everything fixed up so we can move in with a smooth transition. So we're trying to do more and more things at our church building to get more familiarized with that area. So if you guys would like to come, all the information's on the bulletin, and you know who to contact and all the dates and times as well. We do have some more things coming up throughout this month, and they're on the back of your bulletin, and you guys can kind of run through those if you guys like to, and as they get closer, those dates get closer, we'll talk more about them up here. But we have a lot coming up. The fall is a busy month for the Crossings Church because we do a lot of stuff with our student ministries. As you guys saw on that video, how involved we are with our kids. That was just the high school ministry. You know, we did the same exact thing with our junior hires. We pulled them out for a week to a camp, and we talked about God, and we tried to get them involved and inspired and gave them some hope. And we did the same thing with our kids, you know, the little kindergarten through fifth graders. We did the same thing with them. And next week, we're going out again with the campus kids, you know. So we really invest with our students. And it's really cool because, you know, when you see a video like that and you see all the smiles and you see all the mud and the disgustingness and all the joy and the happiness, it's awesome. And it's even more awesome if you know what some of those kids have to go back home to. Because when you watch a video like that and you see the joy and you see the hope and you see the fun, and then you don't realize a lot of those kids go home to broken homes and they go home to alcoholic parents or they go home to a house without a dad or a house without a mom. It's heartbreaking. And it's really cool to see that this is a church that we try to pull those kids out of the world and say, hey, Jesus has a better life for you. Jesus has a different life for you. He wants something for your life. And to see these counselors that go and volunteer who had the same exact backgrounds. One of the coolest things we did this year at camp was we pulled 8 or 9 high schoolers out that were counselors that used to be in the high school ministry, and they told their stories. And they talked about the same abuse and neglect, and just things that shouldn't have happened in their lives and where they're at today because of what they committed to whenever they were in high school. Reggie was one of them that stood up and talked. Aaliyah, she's working with our kids in the back classroom as well. And they talked about a lot of stuff that happened in their lives that really sucked, but since they stuck with it through high school, they have a better life now because of that. And it's just really cool to see those kind of things. You know, when we talk about this idea of suffering, you know, that's what we're talking about today. The theme of our sermon or what we're going through this, I'm blanking on the word, the series, the series, there it was, the series of what we're going through, this you had a bad day, you know, the idea that you suffer, you have pain. Cody did a great job of reading through that crucifixion, and you know, that wasn't a specific gospel, that was a harmonized scripture reading through all the gospels of the account of the crucifixion. And what we're going to do first before we jump into lessons, we're going to take communion. And I think it's really important because, you know, we take communion, obviously, because of that crucifixion and everything that happened there, to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that's the whole basis behind the sermon series, the idea of having a bad day and ultimately that being the bad day. And just to kind of get our minds set in this idea of what suffering is and what it means. So as we take communion, I want you guys to really just remember that message that Cody talked about today, the whole idea of the crucifixion, because we're gonna kind of plan on that a little bit today, and some of the things that Jesus had said on the cross, and figure out where to go from there. So let me say a prayer, and then we'll take communion. God, I just want to thank you so much for sending your son to die on the cross. You know, every time I hear the account of the crucifixion, it doesn't get old, and it doesn't get cold, and it doesn't mean any less every time I hear it. You know, Jesus shouldn't have had to go through that, but ultimately there was a message behind why he died on the cross, and I just pray that we can remember that and that our lives will be changed and be different because of that, Lord. So just be with us as we take communion and help us to remember you and what your son did In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when we look at the series that we're going through, that you've had a bad day, and, you know, we're looking through these different secrets of the cross in general. And, you know, the first week we talked about that we need to find a way to practice forgiveness. And then the second week was, I must find a way to turn my suffering into service. And then last week we talked about that we must find a way to take care of those who care for me. And looking at all these different ideas of what the cross has and what Jesus did on the cross and how we're supposed to respond to that in our bad days is really powerful. And today what we're going to talk about is the idea of the questions that we have, that we need to talk about how we're going to direct our difficult questions to God. And when you guys think about it, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, you know, that famous phrase, that my God, why have you forsaken me? That question, right? When you hear that question, if you know what Jesus is capable of and you know how powerful he is, and you've heard it plenty of times before where somebody's like, well, why didn't he just send somebody down? Why, if it got too bad, if it went too far, why didn't he just save himself? And then also knowing if Jesus was the Son of God and Jesus was omniscient and Jesus knew everything as well, to ask that question still, why have you forsaken me? He already knew why, right? And he already knew everything that God was doing and God was planning. So then why did he say it out loud? Why did he scream that phrase out if he already knew the outcome? If he already knew that God could hear him, why couldn't he have just said it in his mind? Why couldn't he have just thought it? Why was it important that it was vocalized? Well, I think that there's two reasons when you look at it. One was that it actually did relate to his pain, to show that Jesus actually had pain and Jesus went through pain just like humans do, right? And that was one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth, was to show us a way through our own pain and suffering. And I think that one of the reasons was to scream out like that so we knew that Jesus in pain wasn't any lighter than our own pain. You know, God could have came down and gave Jesus this like superpower of like, when he gets cut, it doesn't hurt, but like when we get cut, it does, right? Well, I think them screaming out in pain kind of symbolized and shown that that's the same kind of pain that we experience. But also, I think that he vocalized it because he wanted people to hear it. I think he wanted us to understand and hear that phrase to let us know that there was something more powerful in that question. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is that if Jesus can ask the hard questions on the cross, we're going to have the hard questions too in our own lives. We're going to have the hard questions in our sufferings too. Why does this happen? Why do I go through divorce? Why do I go through abuse? Why have my kids seen something different? Well, A, B, and C, fill it in. Look at the suffering in your life, because we all have hard questions. We all have different questions, but we all have hard questions, and we all have suffering in our lives. And we're going to look at that today and figure out how we can do this. So we're going to talk first about how we can direct those hard questions to God. You know, why we need to. And we need to direct our hard questions to God because God cares for me, number one. God cares for each and every one of us. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, God cares for you, so turn all your worries over to him. And it's tough to think about, you know, when God cares for me, it's hard to see that, right? In the middle of our sufferings, in the middle of the things that happen in our lives, it's hard to see that God actually cares for us. Because that's the lie that Satan wants us to believe, right? Nobody cares for you. You know, nobody likes you. Nobody wants to be around you. And so we think that that's true. We buy into that lie, and we end up being alone. And that's what happens whenever we don't think that God cares, is that instead of us going to him, we start accusing him, right? We start blaming God for our sufferings. It's really your fault that I'm in this spot. Or if you really were a loving God, you know, you wouldn't have put me in this situation. If you truly cared about me, I wouldn't be here. And so what we start to do is, instead of choosing to run to him because we know he cares for us, we start accusing him and we alienate ourselves from God. We start that separation process, and that's because Satan chooses to let us believe that lie. And so the first thing that we need to understand in our sufferings is that when we go through sufferings, it is a point that God actually does care for us. And when you read through Scripture, you find out that God puts people in suffering situations because he cares for them so much. You start to see in Scripture that God will put hard times in people's lives because he does care for them, and he wants something better and different for their lives. And so we need to understand that God does care for us. Number two, we also need to understand that God listens to me when I cry out to him. You know, thinking about that idea as well, it kind of backtracks into number one, because sometimes when we cry out, we don't hear anything, right? Sometimes when we pray out, and we scream out, and we cry out to God, it's silent. And that's a hard time to go through. And then we want to go back and backtrack and say, well, since he's not listening, he must not care. But if you read through Scripture, you find out real fast that God is listening. And he's there and he's hearing you. You know, it says in Psalms 10:17, it says, "You listen to the longings of those who suffer, and you pay attention to their cries for help." And when you guys look at it, there's really two people that get God's attention in suffering. There's two types of people that get God's attention when they're suffering. And one is the broken. You know, the broken get God's attention. Because, you know, we read this verse and it says, you listen to those who suffer and you pay attention to their cries for help. And when you look in your own life, you know, when you suffer the most. For me, you know, growing up as a kid, it was hard for me because I didn't have a dad. My dad was an alcoholic. He wasn't in my life, and I knew there wasn't something right about my life. You know, there was something about my life that didn't seem like the other kids. You know, there was something about my lifestyle that didn't seem like it was what God wanted for me. And I wanted help. I wanted hope. I wanted a purpose in my life. And I remember the year I graduated high school, I was broken, and I was pissed about what was going on in my lifestyle, and I didn't want it. And I remember starting this journal, and you know, a few months ago I read some of it whenever I preached, but I just started writing out my thoughts about how I didn't want to be what I was. And I looked at my family life, and I didn't want what they had. I wanted something different. I wanted something more inspiring, more purposeful, more fulfilling, and I didn't have anything like that. And it was crazy because I didn't know who I was talking to, but I was talking to somebody. And at that point, like, I didn't know if I believed in the God of the Bible. I believed in a higher power. You know, you hear that a lot, don't you? Like, I don't believe in God, but I believe in a higher power. Well, you believe in something supernatural, right? You believe in a God. It's just trying to figure out what it is. And I said that a lot. And I think that I was crying out to God, this higher power that I didn't understand at that point, because he sent somebody into my life. In the middle of my suffering of me growing up as a kid, he sent somebody to me, and it was kind of ironic because they came in an ambulance. You know, if you know the story of my conversion, my nephew and I were, you know, we were playing catch with the football, and he was a little scrawny kid at the time, and he was one of those kids who was always inside, and he always played video games, and so he was just really scrawny. You think I'm scrawny, like, my nephew was like twice as scrawny as me. He's just a little guy. But anytime I'd go to his house, I'd be like, hey, you want to go outside? He's like, yes, let's go outside. And I played a lot of sports growing up, so it was natural for me to do those kind of things, but my nephew didn't. And so it was, he had a very awkward throw and a very awkward stance. And when he ran, it was like all over the place. And it was pretty humorous as a kid. But one time he chose to throw me the football, and right when he threw the football, he didn't realize that the gutter was right there next to the road. And so when he throws it, he goes, "Huh!" And he falls straight in, and his knee pops out of socket, just out of the blue. You know, and I'm over there, he's screaming, he's laying on the ground screaming, I'm running over there, and then my mom bursts out the door and says, "What did you do to him? You're not supposed to tackle him," and like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I was over here, he was playing catch with me, like, I don't know. And it's hard to believe that you run outside and your kid's knee popped out of socket, and it was because he was trying to throw you the ball. Doesn't make sense at all, right? So we have to call an ambulance. And the guy driving the ambulance was the guy in a campus ministry that connected me to Christ. And it was within a few weeks of me starting in that journal that this freak accident happens, that a guy comes in an ambulance to help me, to give me hope and to give me a vision. And it's even crazier because, you know, I even had the option, you know, my sister was like, just take my car and I'll ride in the ambulance. And like, I would have never met that guy. But for some reason, I just felt like I needed to get in that ambulance with him to do whatever. Just a small window like that, right? And sometimes whenever we're in the midst of our sufferings, it may not be a huge window that God's opening for you. It may be a small window of opportunity that you have to be looking for. And in that small moment, I wasn't even looking for that opportunity. But whenever that spark happened, that small conversation in the ambulance happened, I chose to invest in it. And I'm here today because of that, you know? And so those windows aren't very big at times, but God's listening. And it says in this verse that he pays attention and he's there for you. So the first kind of people that God listens to, you know, is the broken and suffering. But also, he listens to the righteous. He listens to his own people. You know, it says in Psalms 34, it says, the Lord watches over the righteous and listens to their cries. So just because you have a relationship with God doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer. In fact, the Bible says that there's probably going to be more suffering in your life when you choose to follow Christ. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to listen to you. And I could talk about time and time and story of my friends through a relationship with God within our three churches that I know of that have had terrible things happen in their lives since they've dedicated their life to Christ, since they've chose to live this path. And a lot of those things were even worse things that happened before they were a Christian. And at times, that's more faith-shaking to me, is if you don't understand what a relationship with God is supposed to entitle, and then you choose to follow God, and then you see these bad things happen, you want to ask those questions again. I'm dedicated to you, God. I'm dedicated to your purpose and your vision. But why do these things keep happening to me still? Why do I still suffer even though I'm committed to you wholeheartedly? And a lot of people, you know, there's churches out there that say, well, you're really not committed to God, and that's why the bad things happen. You know, that's the biggest lie that anybody could tell you. And if you go to a church, you've ever been to a church where somebody tells you that, that's the biggest lie. God doesn't favor you because you're in his family, and he doesn't protect you from all the bad things because you're in his family. But he's still there willing to listen to you through those sufferings and through those trials, as the Bible says. And so we understand that God cares for us. And we understand whether we're suffering or we have a relationship with God, that he's still listening to us. And then the third thing, too, is also that he responds for me. God responds for me when I cry out to him. You know, it says in Psalms 34, 17 through 19, it says, when his people pray for help, he listens and rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope. The Lord's people may suffer a lot, but he will always bring them safely through. That's one of the coolest verses to ever read, right? That even though you're a Christian, even though you have this relationship with God, even though you're one of the Lord's people, you're going to suffer a lot. But it says he'll always safely bring them through. Many of you guys know we don't live in heaven right now, right? If you guys turn on the news or you guys listen to the radio or you guys look outside and you guys see what's going on in the media, this is not a heavenly earth that we're on anymore, right? There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pain. And God's people, they're not shielded from that. We don't have this. We don't live in this bubble. And that's something we talk about with our kids at camp. You know, when we go out to camp, it's so sad that a lot of our kids that go to camp don't want to go home. You know, that last day is really heartbreaking because a lot of kids, when they get out to camp and they have something, because when you go to church camp, it is like a bubble, you know, and a lot of kids will go out there and like, this is the greatest thing I've ever experienced. And it's, you know, everybody's on my page. I want to have a relationship with God here. And everybody's on board with that. And I study the Bible here. And people are like, you're studying the Bible? Great job. Keep going. And I'm like, I want to be out here. And church camp is awesome. And then that last day hits and reality hits and that bubble's popped because these kids got to go back to the real world where their moms and dads aren't high-fiving them for studying the Bible. And their friends are making fun of them because of that. And it's not as easy when you don't sleep in a room with a bunch of kids that are your age, but you sleep in a house where you're screaming back and forth and bottles getting thrown. And it's so heartbreaking to hear what these kids have to go home to. And it sucks. But what's cool is this verse when he tells us that he's always going to bring them safely through. Even when it doesn't feel like that, God's there to respond in the midst of our sufferings. And that's why we need to direct these questions to God. Because at times it feels like we shouldn't, and sometimes it feels like we can't or we're not able to, but we need to start directing those questions in your lives to God, those hard things that we can't figure out why they're happening. Time to start directing those things to God. But for years, for some of us, we just haven't found the answers. You know, there's been a lot of things that have happened in my life that I look at, and I'm like, I still don't have the answers to them. And it's tough, you know, like, even in my own life. You know, a few years ago, when my wife and I got married, we were real excited to have kids. And all our friends around us were having kids. And we got pregnant, and it sucked because we had twins, you know. We had two girls, or I think that they were girls because we only make girls. but I believe that it was two girls. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. We didn't know up to that point. But they both had heartbeats when we went in for our first doctor's appointment. And then the next time we went in, we only saw one. And then we prayed really hard for that. They're like, you know, we know that a lot of people have miscarriages, and we know that that's something normal. And with twins, we're like, well, let's just get the other one out, you know? And we prayed super hard for it, and neither one of them made it. And I look back at that moment in my life, and I didn't respond the right way. I didn't go to God. I didn't comfort my wife. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't feel like I deserved that because of everything that I've done for God for years. And then it took me years to have that fight with God, because even though I asked, I didn't receive anything. And even though I was in that moment, I didn't find answers to that. And it took me years to finally tap into my emotions. And, you know, we're going through a rooted experience thing pretty soon with our church. And your leadership has kind of trialed that as a group. And that's where it hit me for the first time. And I looked at that and I said, all right, God, it's time to hash this out. I'm really taking this question to you. And I remember just bawling my eyes out, trying to think of why this happened to me, why this happened to our marriage, why this happened to our family. And I couldn't get the answers. And then finally, when we went through this experience and I sat down, I just took these answers, I took these questions to God, I finally found some peace. And I think that's what we need to start looking at today, is God's not going to blatantly just give you a correct answer as to why these bad things happen in your lives. But he's going to give you an answer. And it's going to bring some comfort, and it's going to bring some peace. And so we really need to figure out what we need to do with these hard questions. And that's what we're going to talk about now, is this idea of hard questions. If I can find answers to my hard questions, I will. If I, number one, I ask God for help. We've got to ask God for help. It says in Psalms 34:4, it says, I asked the Lord for help, and he answered me. He saved me from all that I feared. And when I look at this, it's pretty common knowledge, right? That ask God for help. That's like one of those blanks that you see like on your bulletin like every week at church, right? That's one of those ones that just comes natural and normal. Like, I ask God for help. Yeah, it makes sense. I need to ask God for help. But I think what we really need to understand is, do we know we need to ask God for help, or do we actually ask God for help? Because I think a lot of us in this room, we know we need to ask God for help. But then there's not a lot of us that I feel like actually do ask God for help. And I think that's the difference between the two. You know, once again, when we're at church camp, it's heartbreaking to sit in some of these cabin discussions and have 15 kids in the room, and they're talking about their things that are going on at home and thinking about what they're going to try to do. And they get all this advice and they get all these things at camp, and they're like, this is what I need to do when I get home. I need to ask, I need to go, I need to put this in practice, I need to read my Bible more. I know what I need to do. But so many times I've seen kids go home and then they're not back the next year because they chose not to do what God was wanting to do in their life, and they got pulled into peer pressure, they got pulled in to the community, or they just fell away from their relationship with God. But they knew exactly what they needed to do. And with asking God for help, I think we need to understand, one, is it's one of those things that you know you need to do, but so many times we don't do it. And this is one of the first things that we need to look at if we're looking at how we get things out of our lives. You know, it says in James 1:5, if you need wisdom to know what you need to do, you should ask God, and he'll give it to you. And then later on, there's the effect of people who don't. In James 4:2, it goes right back and says, you don't have what you want because you didn't ask. And so we get in this point where we're suffering, and we know what we need to do, but so many times we don't do it. So many times we don't ask, and we don't get in that spot. And, you know, sometimes suffering sucks, and we get in the spot, and we don't want to, when we try to figure out, we want to blame our sufferings as to why we don't. But when you think about it, at times, suffering brings about a selfishness in us, doesn't it? You know, when you think about your sufferings and your pains and your hurts, and you choose not to ask God about it, that ultimately is selfishness. It's kind of like a hurt dog, right? When a dog gets hurt, what do? They back themselves in a corner, right? And they don't want the help. They don't want the healing because they're so hurt. And at times, it's not fair that we're hurt that much, but so many times we do want to distance ourselves, and we do want to seclude ourselves, and we want to put ourselves in a corner, and we don't do what God asks us to do. But look at Jesus on the cross. That question, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his pain, he was still asking God questions. He was still asking God for help. He was still using the idea of asking. So we need to ask God for help. Number two, we need to enable God to help. And when you guys think of the word enabling, is that usually a positive word or a negative word? Negative, right? That idea of you're an enabler. And we use that so often in our context, in our world today, to be an enabler. You know, like, there's a couple times when I was in college that I would be like the designated driver, right? Well, I was an enabler. You know, I was saying, you guys are too drunk to drive, so I'm going to allow you to keep drinking like that so you can do whatever you want and I will drive you home safely. You know, but ultimately I'm enabling that lifestyle to be okay. You know, I'm saying this is totally fine for you to do and I'm enabling that. Or, you know, like when your kids whine, and I'm actually guilty of this quite a bit, when my kids are whining and screaming and whatever, I'm like, just give them what they want. Like, just do it. Just make them stop, whatever. And my wife is usually the better one of this at me. And she's like, no, they need to be disciplined. They need to understand that this is, there's a difference between right and wrong, and it needs to happen. I'm like, all right, fine. You can do it. Like, but we enable those things. And if we don't discipline and we don't do things right, then our kids are going to turn out to be these entitled, self-focused kids time to time again. Or an addicts and things like that. Like when you choose to give cash out to addicts and you're like, all right, well, you say it's for food, so here's your money for food. And they're like, all right, thank you. Right to the drugstore, right? To get whatever they need to. And so a lot of times we use that word enabler as it's like you're choosing to bring about negative things in people's lives. Well, enabling doesn't always have to be negative, right? Because you can enable a positive relationship with your kids, and you can enable them to have good relationships with God, and you can enable your friends to have relationships with God, and you can enable shouldn't be a negative word. Enabling should bring about an activation of something positive in your life, and we need to figure out how to enable God in our lives. You know, God can bring some awesome things into our lives, but we need to activate him. We need to turn him on. And we need to figure out how to get him involved in our lives, enable him in a positive way to work through you. And if we're going to do that, first off, we need to learn that we must listen carefully. If you want to enable God in your life, you got to listen carefully. It says, you know, this is a quote from C.S. Lewis, which is really cool. Actually, no, I'm not going to say that yet. I skipped over something. But we need to listen carefully, right? And there's two different types of things. There's two different ways that we can, when we listen, we might hear something different out of God. The voice of God can happen in two different ways. And the first one is when we have a bad day, it can magnify the voice of God. You know, if you're going to start listening, there's some things that can happen when you choose to listen, right? And the first one is that a bad day, it can magnify, it can make it loud. And that verse by C.S. Lewis talks about this, and it says, pain insists upon being attended to. When God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And just that last part, but shouts in our pains, it's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You know, when we have a bad day and we want to enable God into our lives, sometimes he will be shouting, and he uses that as a way to get into our heads. And you know, Proverbs 23, it says, hard punishment, blows and bruises will get rid of evil, and whippings can change an evil heart. And so sometimes, whenever the suffering happens in our lives, it's God giving us a wake-up call, you know? Because so many times we kind of go through life and we think that we're okay with God, or we think that we're doing things right and we're completely not. And God starts, wake up. It's time. And those sufferings come and that bad stuff happens in our lives, not because of our own doings or because we deserve it. But sometimes God's just like, you need a wake up. You need to understand that what you're doing is not right. And this is going to be the consequences of your actions. And so we see things in our lives that are bad, and they're because God's saying, you need to wake up, because this is not the way I intended you to live your life. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. This is not the purpose and the focus of what you're supposed to be doing with the rest of your life. And so those bad days sometimes, when you choose to listen to God, he's telling you it's because you need to wake up. And so sometimes when we listen to God, it may not be what we want to hear, but it's necessary. And so a bad day can magnify the voice of God, but also a bad day can muffle the voice of God. It says in Zechariah 7:12, they made their hearts as hard as flint so they couldn't hear the Lord's teachings. And so sometimes when you look at this, those bad days can silence the voice of God, right? When you want to listen, but that bad day, what we choose to do is we choose to hide. And we choose to harden our hearts, and we don't let God in. And what that does is that takes that voice when we're trying to listen to the point where we can't hear anymore. We let those hardships and those sufferings into our lives and into our hearts and harden it to the point where we can't hear God coming in anymore. And then we're praying and we're begging, but since we've chosen to let that suffering consume our lives and infest us and infect us, we no longer can hear the wake-up calls. Because we've already given up. It doesn't mean that God can't be there. It just means that we've done something on our own to close the door. And so we need to really make sure that when we're listening, that we can decipher how to magnify that voice to get it out and not harden our hearts to the points where we muffle it and close them out completely, which is what so many people do when it comes to suffering. So if we're enabling God to help, we've got to listen, and we've got to listen carefully. We've got to figure out carefully what he's trying to say. But also, we have to obey consistently. And at times when we're not consistent with our obedience, that's how the voice gets muffled. Everything kind of backtracks. If we're not always obeying, it can be very easy for a voice to be muffled. It says in Isaiah 48:17-19, it says, the God of Israel, the Lord who saves you, says, I am the Lord your God, the one who wants to teach you for your own good and direct you in the way you should go. If you only had listened to my commands, then blessings would have flowed like a stream that never goes dry. Your descendants would be as numerous as the grains of sand, and I would have made sure they were never destroyed. Obeying consistently, even in the hardships, as tough as that is what he's saying. You know, to think about that for a minute, the blessings would flow like a stream that never goes dry. You know, that sounds like an awesome life to me. You know, that sounds like a very positive life that I would want to be a part of. But that was the dream. That was the vision of what it could have been. But what we get to hear is the effect. What it could have been, but since you didn't listen, since you didn't obey, this is what we have to deal with now. And a lot of times, people want to look at the sufferings in their lives and blame God for those things. But honestly, if we would have been obedient in our lifestyles, then a lot of sufferings wouldn't happen. You know, sometimes sufferings are not our fault. You know, sometimes sufferings are just things and hardships. Sometimes you can't handle if you were a kid and somebody sexually abused you. You know, it's not your fault. You didn't have a choice in that. But as you grow up and it consumes your life and you choose to go to alcohol and women or men or whatever it is, and you choose to repeat those processes, that is your fault. That's your choice. And so many times we want to blame the product of our environment, and we want to say that we muffled the voice of God, and that it's all God's fault because this is how it started for me. Well, God wants us to understand you know, it does suck that sometimes things happen to you in the beginning, but you get to decide how it ends. It's your choice to be obedient from here on out. And we've got to accept that. Because if we never accept what we're going to do with our lives, we're never going to be the men and women that God wants us to be. And so we have to obey, not just once, but we have to obey in a consistent lifestyle, even through the hardships and the bad stuff that's happened in our past, so we can affect our future. Look at Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't have to, but he went through that suffering to be obedient, to fulfill a promise. He obeyed consistently, even in his midst of his sufferings, to make sure that he was being obedient to what God wanted for his life. So, we need to ask God for help. We need to enable him to help. And then lastly, we need to trust God until he helps. This is another hard one to swallow, right? Trust him until he helps. Because we want that instant help, right? You know, you want to leave church today and say, all right, God, I'm gonna trust you. I'm going to pray to you. I better get some healing today, you know? And a lot of times we want that instantaneous relief, and it doesn't happen, you know? And when we think about that, you know, not everything's better instant, right? How many of you guys like a good steak, right? How many of you guys like your steaks on the stovetop, like in a cast iron? How many of you guys like them on the grill? How many of you guys would rather have them be in the microwave? Right? Nobody goes to, like, this fancy five-star restaurant. Where's Sean at? Sean, has anyone ever went to Andy's? He used to work at a steakhouse and be like, hey, can you guys just throw mine in the microwave? I want it done in like 5 minutes. No, right? You don't go and spend 50, 60 bucks on a steak and you're like, hey, just zap it for me real quick because I need it now, right? Nobody goes in and orders potatoes and like, hey, do you guys have any like those boxes of like instant potatoes back there? Man, that's really what I'm craving that right now, right? We don't ask for the quick foods, right? Because it tastes better with time. You know, Wes probably has something on his grill right now that he's been cooking for a month now, and it's going to come out, and it's going to be so good, right? And you guys see those videos that he posts on Facebook where it's like, and it's like raw food. But, you know, it's going to take like hours for it to get done, and you're like, man, that looks disgusting right now. But, man, in like 7 or 8 hours, or maybe when I wake up tomorrow, it's going to look real good. It's that instant. We want instant relief. We want instant healing. But God's trying to get us to understand not everything is better instantly. You know? Same thing with our kids. We make them wait. They're impatient. They don't understand what patience is. Sometimes things are better with time. Not everything is going to be given to you right when you want it. It says in 1 Peter 2:23, it says, people shouted at him and made fun of him. But he didn't do the same back to them. He chose to suffer. But he didn't say the bad things that would happen to them. Instead, he trusted the one who judges fairly. And thinking about that, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and he could have instantly shouted back. He could have hurled insults right back. He could have been like, you have no idea what you're dishonoring right now. You have no idea what my Father's capable of. You know what? Just get me out of this whole cross thing. I'm just going to show you right now since you're so ungrateful. You know, like, he could have instantly went into that. But he chose to endure the suffering and endure the pain regardless of what was going on around him because he trusted in the promise of what God had for his life. And we've got to figure out how to do that too. We've got to figure out to look into our lives and say, man, I haven't found answers yet. I haven't found the healing yet. I don't know when it's going to come. But I need to trust God until it does come. You know, some of my best friends, They live over in Wentzville, and they're having a hard time having kids right now. And it sucks because I know how good of a father Chris is going to be. And I know how good of a mom Courtney's going to be. And they've been trying for years now to have kids. And there's a lot of suffering going on in their lives because of that. But I know they're choosing to trust in God through all of the suffering. And they're choosing to surround themselves with men and women who went through the same struggles and the same hardships, and they're being faithful because of that. And I know the day that they have a kid, it's going to bring so much joy to their lives than them just choosing to be ungrateful or impatient or not trusting God and his promises. But it's so cool to see faithful men and women trust God in the hardships and see what joy is brought because of that and what stories are brought because of that and what healing is brought in their own lives, but also people that they come into contact with because of those trusting times. But I've also seen people not trust in those times and choose to blame God and choose to walk away from God and choose to hate God and then to see the destruction that leads on because of that. We've got to figure out a way to trust God in these times and not abandon him. And that's hard. You know, we go back to that question, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you don't know anything about the Bible, this can be one of the most puzzling questions that you ever see in the Bible. It can be a faith breaker for some people. You know, if this really was Jesus, why would he say, God, why are you abandoning me? Why are you forsaking me? And that's what that word forsake means in the Greek language. It means to like abandon or leave behind. And to think if you don't know any other scriptures that talk about this specific verse, you would think that Jesus literally thought that God was abandoning him and that God didn't love him or that God, you know, it brings a lot of questions. And what we're going to do for a second is we're going to watch a video about this idea of that question, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I'm going to come back up here in a minute and we're going to talk a little bit more to close it out. But watch this video and think about this question of what's going on in his life and the suffering. See, if you don't know anything about my God, why have you forsaken me, besides what you see on the crucifixion, you have no idea what that actually meant. What Jesus was doing when he died on the cross and he said that phrase was he was reciting scripture from Psalms 22. And as you guys just watched, it was fulfilling a prophecy of what God was going to do. And so when you hear the phrase on the cross of why he was forsaken, it wasn't to feel alone or to feel abandoned in a way that he knew there was no hope. But it was more like a planned abandonment, that he knew that this was going to happen because of the process that was going to happen. And when you say it like that, a planned abandonment, that doesn't make any sense. Well, think of it like this. Think of it like a shipwreck and everybody's hurt and somebody chooses to leave to get help. That's still a planned abandonment, but he left to get hope and to get healing and to come back and save everyone. And that's exactly what the message of the cross is meant to be, is that there is time that he was forsaken and he was abandoned and left behind, but it was to bring hope and to heal and to bring a message back to the world to say he's done it. It's been fulfilled and there's hope here now. That's the message of my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the message of what happens in our suffering. That through time, God's going to bring healing in your suffering and God's going to bring you hope. And he's going to access a part of your life that you never thought you'd be capable of getting out of. And to give you that kind of life through this is going to be amazing. Did Jesus feel abandoned? Of course he did. But he loved and trusted God through it. And you see the life change in people's lives because of that today. And so, you know, looking at this whole idea of trusting God until he helps, it says in Romans 10:17, it says, the point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. If you look at what he said on the cross, Jesus was preaching on the cross. Then, you know, the New Testament was the life then, so they didn't have, the New Testament wasn't scripture yet. It was their life. And so all they had at that time was the Old Testament. And so what Jesus was doing was he was preaching the word. When he shouted that out, like I said at the beginning of the service, why would he shout that out? You know, he was proclaiming the gospel. He was reciting Psalms 22. And I would encourage you guys to go back and read that sometime, Psalms 22, and read the whole thing. It starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it goes on and it says everything that we just looked at here. Crazy verse. I didn't know that until a few weeks ago, that was something that he was actually doing through the scriptures, that he was fulfilling a prophecy and giving hope. And that's what he says. If unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. So we need to understand that if we're going to be honest with our lives, we have to be open. And if you want to be victorious in your sufferings, you'll be obedient to the scriptures. You know, it says in Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. You know, I don't know what it is that you need today. I don't know. Everyone has struggles. Everyone has sufferings, and they're all different. And I don't know what you need. But I do know that the Crossings Church is a place that tries to address each and every one of those struggles within our ministries in some way or format. And I know that there's been a lot of healing, and there's still sufferings going on today. And there's still struggles within our church, and there's still questions that haven't been answered. But there's community right along there with it. There's love. There's support. And so I'm telling you today, if you choose to look into this and invest within the Crossings Church, I'm not guaranteeing an answer tomorrow, not even next week. But I do guarantee that the Crossings will bring comfort, and they'll bring relationships, and they'll bring support until that time comes when God chooses to give us those answers. And that's what I want you guys to look into today. You know, there's a communication card in you guys' pamphlets. If you guys want to pull that out for a second, it's cardstock. It's got our logo on the back. And this is your opportunity to respond. This is your opportunity to look at those sufferings in your life and figure out, where do I start? Because like I said, that pain and that healing of that pain and that suffering is not going to come overnight. But it's going to take some time. And where else is a better start? A place to start than a relationship with God and His people. So as you guys look over this card, this is your opportunity to respond with that and figure out how you can start to work on those sufferings, how you can start to handle those pains. We have a lot of different classes at our church that we offer, things like Healing is a Choice, where we've had a lot of people that have been through, you know, divorces or, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse, just crap death, things that have happened in our lives that we just look at and we're like, I need healing from this. But, you know, it's called Healing is a Choice because it is a choice. You get to choose if you want to be healed from those things. And you have to start with yourself. And so a class like that would be great after a lesson like this to maybe look at maybe how I can figure out how to get in something like that. We have divorce care. We have men and women both that have been in divorce and figure out how to bounce back from that, how to get healing from that, how to get growth, how to give hope to maybe one day having something different. Divorce care for kids. Figure out, how are my kids supposed to get out of this? How are they supposed to figure out this lifestyle that they see? How are they supposed to not judge me or look at me differently because it's something that I needed in my life to happen to get closer to God, and they need to respect that? Or how are they going to make sure that they don't repeat the same processes or the same mistakes that they've seen before in their lives? You know, we have that for our children as well. We have, you know, we have grief share. If you've lost a loved one and you have those hard questions, why did they have to go so soon? You know, why did this have to happen? Why did it happen to me? We have grief share. There's a lot of things that you guys can look at on these cards at the bottom. And if you guys look at those, you know, check one of those boxes. You know, figure out what you need. Like I said, I don't know what you need, but I know everybody needs something. And it's your opportunity to respond and to start in those. And so what we're going to do here in a minute is I'm gonna say a prayer. And then we're going to sing a song that's going to give you an opportunity to fill out some of those cards. And then after we sing that song, we're going to sing a second song. And we're going to pass the baskets. And the baskets, you know, if you're just visiting with us, we don't expect anything to go in that basket but this card. Because this church is not here to suck money out of people. It's here to give people a life, a hope, and an opportunity. So if you're visiting with us, just drop that card in because we want to help. We want to give community and relationships. We want to give healing. For our members, we understand what those ministries need. And so for our members, we kind of expect that contribution to keep those ministries running and growing to help those in need. So I'm going to say a prayer, and I hope that you guys will take some time to figure out what you guys need on these cards. You guys bow your heads with me. God, I just want to thank you so much for the community that you brought me, for the hope. There are still questions that I look at my life, some of the sufferings and the things that I'm going through right now that I still don't know why. And it's tough. But I'm so grateful that you've brought people into my life to be by me through those pains and to support me. And I have gotten some healing through other hard questions. I think of all the hardships I had in high school with my dad and with the things going on. And I'm so grateful that I addressed some of those pains before I became a father. I'm so grateful that I've addressed some of those things before I became a husband. And I'm so glad that I didn't have to bring that crap and those hurts into that marriage. But God, I do know that there are times wherever I still need healing and help in some of those areas, and I'm so grateful that I have people to surround me with, that I have your word to look at and be obedient to, and that even though there are some things that I haven't been able to figure out, I pray that I can just continue to trust you until you respond. And I pray that same thing for everyone else in this room, Lord. And I don't know what they need, but I just pray that we'll all start somewhere. And we'll start today by figuring out how to start addressing these sufferings, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.